washing of blood in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
A guest over here, brother, and you, did you go to Perry's church in Ukraine? How did you know Perry? Okay, can you stand up, introduce yourself, and then tell us your calling?
My name is David Lowman, and my wife Naomi, and son Philip, and we're working for the Perry Demopolis in country Ukraine. And I found out about Brother Perry by his project translated King James Bible.
Okay, have you met Dan Bardwell through there?
Yes.
That's his mother over here. And so, that's good.
About 8 hours.
About 8 hours, yes. Okay, that's a good. Barenta Matu is going to come again. Where the church is located, again, if you think of a nice trash dump down there in Newton County, and put 30,000 people on their squad on there, and that's the encouraging, healthy environment of where their church is at. So we'll hear some of the things they've gone through the last 2-3 years and in trying to get a church established down there, and we'll go ahead and pray first. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your blessings, and I do pray and ask you'd help us to see things going on in other parts of the world. And if you'd allow us to be a part of it, that'd be great. And I just pray you'd bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know what to look. I do have a green light. Is it working? No? Yes? Okay, it's working. All right. I think a couple years, or last year, I had given a quick update in the church, so I won't talk about it a whole lot before I preach. Judah is enjoying the gym, because in our church we had to have one room building, and him and the kids out there play a fun game called jump over the open sewer and he has not fallen in it yet, thank the Lord. they play tag, they play anda, they play tag, and they run and jump over the sewer. So they have not fallen in yet, thank the Lord. But they also play dodge the car out in the street. There's a random car that just flies around, dodge the motorcycle, dodge the drug lord. I mean, it's tons of fun games down there to play. But Judah said, I like this better up here because there's toys and there's gym. He was completely upset because we don't have evening service. He was completely upset we had a second hour. He's like, again? We just did church. So he was sitting there during singing, whispering over to Levi, Levi, look at me. So, but Levi wasn't looking back at him, but that's okay. So, all right. I mostly updated you on everything that was going on with the church there. Lord's been good. I just texted the guy that was preaching for me. He said pretty much all the regulars were there today. And he said, I got a little nervous. I stuttered around a little bit, but I did fine, according to the people. So thank the Lord. Our church had our first Sunday without us. They were able to continue on and didn't stumble and fall on their face. At least I'll find that out next week. So, but thank the Lord, that was good. Ariel did good. He didn't wear his beer shirt, he told me, so he was all happy. So if you weren't here this morning, they get down. I know Joe wasn't here and some of the others. I met Joe, or I knew Joe, I've known Joe for like 30 years, right? Not to age how old we are, but it's been like 20 years, and probably 15, 20 years since I've seen him. But some of the people down there just wear hand-me-down shirts, and they don't speak English at all. And this guy always comes into church and says, all I need is bicycles and beer to be happy, and he'll wear it to church. So we finally told him what it was. So he walked out of church like this, trying to hide his shirt. So he preached this morning, and he was all happy, all excited. I told him, you keep doing a good job, we'll get some more opportunities to preach here. So he's all excited about that. All right, we're going to open up our Bibles, but I'm not going to tell yet. I'm going to preach about the disciples. How many of you have seen the show, the series, The Chosen? Some of us, not many. Oh wow, you guys need to watch it. You guys need to watch it. It's this sermon's actually we've seen it twice. It's based on the Chosen there. Story about Jesus Christ. It's a series about Jesus Christ. It's on YouTube, right? My mom and dad told me about it, and it's just wonderful. It shows the human aspect of Jesus Christ, and it's just wonderful. I really like it. But this kind of inspired me to preach about the disciples. What are you doing here? You want to sit by mom? Oh, okay. I saw my kid sitting up front by herself. But all right, because everyone in the whole world knows some of the most famous disciples, we're going to have a pop quiz, and I'm not going to tell you where to go first, because I'm sure you guys are a bunch of cheaters like my church people are. Yeah, I told them where to go, and then they're all naming all the disciples. All right, I would like, name some disciples, please. We would try to see if we can name 12 disciples. Joab? Peter? Oh, you took the easy. Yeah. Phoebe? James? Joshua?
Andrew.
Okay, we have three. Judah, what'd you say? John? The sailboat? No, we're not counting the sailboat. Joab? Bartholomew? Okay, how about someone else that's not my kids on this side? Levi.
Matthew,
good one. Ruthie?
Judas,
okay. We're up to seven. Okay, not Joab again. Not the missionary kids, okay? Not the missionary kids. Jason?
The other
James. What about the other Judas? Okay, we're missing three.
Thomas.
Bartholomew was already said. Oh, nice try. Excuse me? No, sir, we did not. All right, we're missing one more. I already know him, though. Nathaniel. Yes, sir. We'll go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. And I want to preach about some of the disciples today, because the disciples were Jesus Christ's chosen men to get the gospel out to every part of the world. There were 12 disciples, and if we take out Judas and put in Matthias, there were 12 disciples, and these 12 men touched the entire world. The Bible says in Acts there that they turned the world upside down. So I want to talk about the men that turned the world upside down. Matthew 10, 1 through 5. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James his son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus," that was the one we skipped, he had another name as well, "Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who had also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." All right, so these 12 men went out into the other world. Now, we only know, the Bible only shows us the death of one of them, of James. Herod beheaded him and killed him there in Acts 12, too. So we know his death. But history shows us that the other 11 all died. We don't know if it's for certain or not because it wasn't in the Bible. But we all know, but the history tells us that they all died as martyrs. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew as well, but he wasn't crucified upside down. He just crucified very regularly. Thomas was stabbed in India. Actually, my notes are in Spanish. I couldn't remember what that word was. I wrote down how he died. It's like, fue puñalado. What was that? So I had to remember what that word was. Thomas was speared to death in India. Philip, this is all according to history, was killed in Africa, but there wasn't an account of how. Matthew was also stabbed in Ethiopia. Bartholomew and the other James were killed but there's different reports how they died. The other Simon was killed in Persia, and Matthias was killed in Syria. So these are 12 men. They all had 12 very violent endings. They all died very violent deaths. As Christians, we don't want to do that, right? I prefer to die in my sleep, preferably, right? That's how I want to go. I don't know if I have an option, but that's how I want to go. When I was really sick with COVID, I thought, man, this is not how I want to go. I was in the hospital gasping for breath and like, I don't want to be surrounded by incompetent doctors. That's not how I want to go. I want to go on my bed. But thank the Lord, he made me fine, so that was good. So I can still go on my bed. My hopes are still up there. Hopefully a few more years from now. But so they didn't have a very good end. They didn't have an end that any of us would want. But you know what they did have? They had something that Jesus Christ was happy about. They touched every part of the world. They have turned this whole world upside down. Now everyone knows about the most famous apostles, right? Or the most famous disciples. I think the first one was named was Peter, and then James and John. Those are the most popular disciples. And they all have very good characteristics. They all have something that's good, that they just had something that helped them preach the gospel. We look at Peter. We look at the boldness of Peter. You know, we know that he has problems. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. We know that. But once he repented, what happened? Look at the book of Acts. Acts 2, repent. Acts 3, he's preaching. Acts 4, he's preaching. Acts 5, he's preaching. All the way to Acts 8. He's preaching every single one. He had no fear of preaching about Jesus Christ. We had the boldness of Peter. We have the love of John. If we look in the book of John, it says that he was a disciple that Jesus loved. Man, he was so tight with Jesus Christ, he just loved him. And it makes me think, how do I love Jesus? Do I love the world more, or do I love Jesus more? What's more important to me? My love of my things, my stuff, or Jesus Christ? We look at some of the others. James. It's because in Spanish it is Jacob. This is my fourth sermon today. It's a little bit different. I've preached out of every single one of Spanish notes, so I'm struggling here. So James. We have the fervor of James. He was just bold. He wanted to do things. And sometimes a little too much. He's like, hey, should we call fire down from heaven and burn these guys? That would be a cool trick to have, by the way. That really would. Can you imagine knocking on doors? Hey, I'm so-and-so from the church, and we want to invite you to church. And you're like, no, I'm a Catholic. Lord, fire right now. Boom. That man, your church would be huge. This one time that happens, all the neighbors are like, we're going to that guy's church. That would be perfectly awesome if we can get that church, or they get that trick. But what did Jesus say? No, not right now. You're not Elijah. You can't be doing that. Or Elijah, yeah, you're not Elijah. You can't be doing this. But I want to look at some of the other less popular disciples, because I feel that every single disciple is just as important as Peter, James, and John. I want to go to we're going to John, the book of John, chapter 1. And I'll look at some of these other disciples and see what they had, see something that they had that we should have as well. It's kind of nice because our church people are very baby Christians. I'll tell them, look in John, and they'll start in Genesis and start flipping like this. Going like that, and then I'm waiting, then I'm waiting, then I'm waiting, then I'm waiting. It's like, okay, it's been 3 minutes, I'm going to start reading. So I start reading, and you're like, Pastor, where's the verse again? Right in the middle of the verse. So I have to stop and tell them. So I start again, and then where was that again? What verse? It's like, so I got a whole box of Bibles, and I gave every single person in church a Bible. I said, if you can't find it, it's on this page. I gave them the same Bible. It says, on page 512, find it. So they're sitting there finding it, so it's much easier. It saves a lot of time when you're preaching. So, because I can only go to like 3 different verses when I'm preaching, because I was just waiting so long for everyone to get there. Because then I'd get to the verse and I'd read it, and then I'd start talking and be like, what was that verse again, Pastor? Like, I just read it twice. But that's okay. So I want to read in John 1:40. Actually, this man is my favorite disciple. Everyone likes Peter and James and John. My favorite disciple is Andrew. And I don't know why, but Andrew is really overlooked in the Bible. Everyone always knows Peter and James and John and Judas and Thomas, but I really like Andrew. He's my favorite disciple of them all. If you look in John 1:40, it says, of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. Now Andrew really, he's not really popular. If you look, he's only mentioned 12 times in the Bible. And most of the time he's mentioned is in this list. And he's really only mentioned three times talking. And if we look at it every single time, we'll go to John 6. John 6. We're going to stay in John for Andrew at least. We're going to look at the three times he is mentioned in the Bible. Outside the lists. John 6:8 says, and one of his disciples, this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of Jesus Christ. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they so among so many? I always find this funny. I don't really see the lad volunteering his food. And Andrew's like, hey, this kid's got food. He'll gladly help. And the kid's like, this is my food. It's like, no, he's like, hey, he'll help. But then if we go to John 12, 20 through 22. John 12, 20 through 22. These are the three times, only the three times that Andrew specifically mentioned outside of the lists. It says in John 12, 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So something I see right here about Andrew is he had a heart. He had a heart for other people. He had a heart to share the gospel. First thing he did, he found his brother. He followed John around. He found his brother Peter and said, hey, we found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. He took his family to Jesus Christ. Then he said, this boy is like, hey, this boy wants to help. He said, he took a friend. He said, hey, let's go see Jesus Christ. We're going to help with Jesus Christ. And then he sees these Greeks here, these foreigners. And they said, we want to see Jesus. And they can't talk, they can't get to Jesus. So they go to Philip, who goes to Andrew, who gets him to Jesus Christ. Andrew is my favorite disciple because he had a heart to take people to Jesus Christ. How's our heart? Are we willing? Is that our number one goal, is to get people to Jesus Christ? As soon as Andrew found Jesus, he's like, John said, this is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Andrew said, ooh, I'm getting my brother. I don't know if Simon Peter was older or younger. I don't know what he was. But so I'm getting my brother. We're going to Jesus. We're going to serve Jesus together. That's what we should do. That's our job as Christians. Get your family to Jesus Christ. Get your friends to Jesus Christ. Get the foreigners, the lost people, to Jesus Christ. This is our job, our goal as Christians, you know? It's not for the pastor only. It's not for the missionary. Yes, I get paid to go down and tell people about Jesus Christ. But you guys have the same goal as I do. You have the same job as I do. Like the brother here is in Ukraine, trying to reach Ukrainians for Jesus. We're trying to reach Costa Ricans for Jesus. You guys should be trying to reach your neighbors, Americans, your family for Jesus Christ. And Andrew said, you know what? This is my job. I'm going to tell everyone else about Jesus Christ. And if you see that, if you watch that series, and I know TV is not end all be all, believe me, I barely watch TV. But this thing really, to me, it really shows like the humanity of Jesus, but it really shows the lives of the disciples as well. And I thought, wow, look at Andrew. Andrew was a good man. He did something. He took care of his family first. He said, I want my brother to know the Savior. I want my kids to know the Savior. Thank the Lord. All five of my kids are saved. Judah just got saved a few months ago. I don't know if you guys heard the story about how he got saved. It's quite interesting because he's a disobedient one. We were out there playing in the yard and we had this big bee's nest up there. And we're playing baseball down there in Costa Rica. And he gets this look in his eye. And he picks up a rock. Looks at the bee's nest. Looks at the rock. It's like, don't you dare, boy. I said, don't you throw that rock. So I turn my back to play baseball. And what's he do? Throws a rock at the bee's nest. And the bees all come out, of course. But guess who they stung? They didn't touch him. They got me. Right in my ear, right in my neck. Oh, I was so mad at him. I wanted to kill him. It's like, boy, you about ready to meet Jesus right now. Because I'm allergic to bees. So I'm like swelling up. And I told him, I said, you know, that's a perfect picture of Jesus. It's a perfect picture of Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. I got stung for your sin. And he was, I'm sorry, Dad. But you can tell it ate at him for what? About 2 months? Because he'd come up about once a week. I'm sorry, Dad, for throwing the rocks at the bee's nest. It's like, that's okay, buddy. But I really wanted him to think about it. Then after about 2 months, he came up to me and said, I need to get saved. So I told him, I said, I will gladly take a few bee stings for my kid to get saved. Amen? But I don't want just my kids to be saved. And I grew up in a Christian family, so it's a little bit different for me. But if I didn't grow up in a Christian family, I'd want my brothers and sisters to be saved. I'd want my wife to be saved. I'd want my parents to be saved, my aunts and uncles. my cousins, my friends. And we have neighbors. Everyone has neighbors. I'm sure every one of us has contact with someone that's not a Christian, right? I mean, if you're a human being, you leave your front door, you have contact with lost people. And we need to have the heart of Andrew. His number one goal was always bringing people to Jesus Christ. What's our number one goal? Do I want to read the Bible so I can get puffed up with knowledge? Do I go to church to check off the list? Or is my heart for the lost? Jesus Christ, the Bible says, when he saw the people, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion so much that he cried. When was the last time you guys ever cried over a lost soul? And I know it's not manly to cry, but Jesus Christ cried over lost souls. Jesus Christ died on the cross for lost souls, every single person. So I don't really need to go down to Costa Rica and try to win people to Jesus Christ if I'm not trying to win people to Jesus Christ here. Have the heart of Andrew. To me, he's my favorite disciple. And really, it's interesting because he followed John the Baptist first. I don't know why he wasn't like in the inner circle of Jesus. Jesus, I know Jesus. He had his reasons, and he's perfectly fine. Do whatever you want. He's Jesus, right? But there's always the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. But why was Peter there? Because of Andrew. That's why Peter was there. If you want your family, if you want your friends to get to Jesus Christ, you got to be the Andrew. Be the Andrew. Have the heart for lost souls like Andrew. Second, we're going to go to Matthew. We're going to Matthew 9. Matthew 9:9. This is my second favorite disciple, mostly because it's my second name, Matthew. I've actually seriously considered going by Matthew down there in Costa Rica because no one can say my name. Not a single person can say my name. I've been called probably about 20 different names. Brench, Brend, Bred, what else? Estrench, Brenst, Breast. There's so many names. It's like, no, my name is Brent. At my birthday, we have a church WhatsApp group, and Jen put in the group, "Happy birthday, Pastor Brent." And so everyone was like, "Happy birthday, Pastor Brent." And not a single person spelled it right, even though she had just put it. Brenst, Brench, Bren, Brend. It's like, come on, guys. It's right there. Just spell my name right once. That's all I asked for. It's not a hard name. So I'm like, maybe I should go by Mateo. I'm not sure. I'm still kicking that around. But we're going to go to Matthew. Matthew 9:9 through 13. Matthew 9:9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw it, and they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but who? The sinners to repentance." I like Matthew because, and actually this chosen show really shows it, he was willing to leave everything to follow Jesus Christ. If you think about it, he was a tax collector. Man, we all know those tax people have a lot of money, right? I pay a lot of taxes. I pay taxes in Costa Rica and here. I get doubled. And I don't get credits in either country either. I get double. So I know those tax people get a lot of money. Matthew had a lot of stuff. A lot of money. He had a big house. He had everything fancy. But when Jesus Christ looked at him and said, "Follow me." That's all he needed to say. He didn't even need to say anything else. He wasn't like, "Matthew, please follow me. I got this great future for you. You're going to get stabbed in India. It's going to be great." No, he said that, he probably would have said no. He said, "Follow me." And Matthew, this man sitting there, he was surrounded by Romans, go to his fancy house, had all the money in the world. He just got up and left. He's like, "Okay, I'm going to leave everything." And it's harder to preach this down there in Costa Rica, to my people at least, when they have dirt floors, when they don't have anything. But to Americans, this is hard. Follow me. Leave your nice car behind. Leave your big fancy house behind. Leave your family and friends behind. That's tough. I've done it. It's hard. It's really hard to leave your family and go to a different country and serve Jesus Christ. But Jesus looked at Matthew and said, and all he said was two words, But really, there's all this stuff just added to it. Follow me. Leave your fancy house. Leave your money. Leave your comfort. Leave your comfy bed. Leave your nice clothes. Leave your future. Leave all this and follow me. If you look at the Bible, Jesus said he didn't know where he's going to lay his head at night. He said, foxes have dens, birds have nests. Jesus said, I don't have where to lay my head. And Matthew's like, man, I got this nice tax collector house. I'm assuming he had a big bed, nice pillow. He's like, I have these nice, maybe he had like a Mustang convertible chariot. I don't know what he had back then. That'd be really nice. Maybe he had something fancy. And the Bible didn't say he sat there and thought about it and debated it. He said he got up and followed him. Sometime, Jesus is going to call some of us to go follow him. Actually, he's going to call all of us. Not all of us to go to the mission field, not all of us to be preachers, but to at least follow him. Really? Really? If you think about it, I mean, Matthew didn't know he just followed Jesus around Israel for 3 years, 3.5 years. He didn't go to India right away, or I think, where was it? He was supposedly in Ethiopia, excuse me. He didn't go to Ethiopia right away. Man, he was following around Jesus for about 3.5 years. He had no assurance of any future. He left his big fancy house. He left everything. Jesus Christ said, follow me. And he's going to say that to each one of us too. He's going to say, follow me. And we're going to sit there and say, but Lord, look at my house. I just finished building it. It's nice. Lord, have you seen my car? It's pretty sweet. I have like 2 years of payments left on it. It's like, Lord, have you seen my TV? I just bought it. It's like, I don't know how big are TVs nowadays. I really don't know. We have a TV that's like this down there. And have you seen this? Have you seen my family? We're really tight-knit, and we're close, and we're best friends, and we're going to miss the cousins. Have you seen my bank account? It's pretty big. Or small, if you're a Baptist missionary. No. It's pretty big. And Jesus said, I don't care. Look what I have in heaven waiting for you. What are you griping about some crumbs down here? I got a sheet of gold up there for you. I got a mansion up there. And you're going to whine about your crumbs down here? And we sit there and we think, but Lord, I don't want to. I don't want to follow you. It's tough. I might lose my job. I don't know what my future is going to hold. And Jesus says, yeah, but I do. I do. So what you whining for? I love Matthew. It's how he just got up and he just left. And he just got up and left. We don't know anything else about Matthew. Really, if you look about it, he's not really mentioned anymore outside the list in the Bible. This is all we know about him. He got up, he left everything, and he followed Jesus Christ. And someday he's going to pick up someone out of here. He's going to be like, Joshy, follow me. Maybe he's going to call you to be a missionary. I don't know. Maybe he's going to call you to be a pastor. Maybe he's just going to call you to be a good, solid Christian that stays in church your whole life. Because when Jesus says, follow me, we don't really know what's going to happen. We don't know where it's going to end. Right? But we do know it's going to end serving him, whether here or in a different country. But you have to follow him. You have to make the conscious decision to go. Did anyone here accidentally show up here in church tonight by accident? He's like, oh man, how did I get here? Justin, I'm sure, Justin. You're like, oh man, I was trying to get to Walmart and I just pulled in this driveway here. I hate when that happens. My wife does that all the time. She's like, I'm going to go run air. I'm going to go to church or do something. All of a sudden, she's at the store. I'm like, what happened there? She tries pulling off as an accident, but no. You got to make a conscious decision to follow Jesus Christ. And then lastly, I want to look here. We're going to go to John 20. John 20. And these are some of lesser known apostles or disciples. But I appreciate them. I really appreciate them. And this guy, I think, gets a bad rap. We're going to talk about Thomas. And what's the one thing we know about Thomas? The only thing we know about Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Man, can you imagine if you messed up once in your life and that's what all everyone says about you? Can you imagine? That would just stink. It's like if I get in one car accident in my life and they call me Accident Brent the rest of my life. That would just stink, wouldn't it? It's like, look at how many times I drove and I didn't get in an accident. I have not, actually, believe it or not. Someone hit me a few weeks ago down there in Costa Rica and just drove off. I was pretty mad at him. But he just bumped me a little bit, so it wasn't too bad. But driving here is a little bit different. Right, Mom? there's a lady down at Rensselaer Church named Bev, and I've known her for as long as I've known Joe. And she's dying of cancer, so we went to visit her. And that's Friday night. And we were leaving, and Mom said, you drive. So I got in the car, we pulled up to the stop sign, and there's this car there at the stop sign that took about 0.5 seconds to go. So my hand instantly went over to the horn, lay like this. Mom goes, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. So I quick put my hand back. I'm an avid honker down there. If you don't, down here, if you stop at a red light and you're sitting there for like, what, it takes like 15 seconds for someone honks. Man, if you're not gone in 0.2 seconds there, you have eight people behind you honking. So I have enthusiastically joined in that honking. It's wonderful. It really is. Ask Jen. That's the first thing I do when I get a car. I instantly check out the horn, make sure it's working. If not, that car's not worth anything. But can you imagine just having your one flaw just pointed out your whole life for all of history? And we're like 2,000 years later, and we call him Doubting Thomas. But we'll go to John, where am I at? 20. John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So yes, Thomas was wrong. I'll readily admit Thomas was wrong. And Thomas will readily admit that he was wrong. Right? But verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, Lord, I was right. I knew it. I was completely right. I had every reason to doubt you. The end. Is that what the Bible says? My Lord and my God. Thomas had the willingness to change his mind. Man, we're all going to be wrong. Every one of us is going to be wrong. I'm a missionary, and I'm wrong all the time. My dad's a pastor. He's wrong. You guys are church people. You're wrong. We're all going to be wrong sometime. But how do we react to that? Do we stubbornly dig our heels in like, no! I saw it one time in the Bible. And actually, we just imagined it. It really wasn't in there. And like, no, I know I'm right, and this and that. And we're just gonna be firm in our incorrectness, or firm in our life we're wrong, right? Thomas could have continued his life of unbelief, of faithlessness. He could have continued that. I mean, he could have denied what was in front of him. He could have said, oh, you know what? You're a ghost. I can put my hand through you, because he came in through the doors, right? He didn't use the door. He came in through the wall. He said, you're just a figment of my imagination. I don't believe in you. But he said, no. He said, I'm wrong. Man, that's hard. That's hard as a Christian. Or as a person, when someone looks at you and says, you're wrong, and you know they're right, and what do you say? No, I'm right. I've been there many times, too many times. You can ask my wife, she'll be like, amen. It's usually the biggest amen I get out of her when I talk about being wrong. But if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a disciple for Jesus Christ, you got to be willing to change. Because we're not perfect. We're not infallible. We're not 100% correct 100% of the time. We're wrong. But what's your response? Are you humble enough like Thomas to change? Or are you going to continue being proud and saying, no, I'm right. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stay with what I'm doing. Yeah, you know, a lot of times people get out of church. Or a lot of times people won't get saved. And you know why? For pride. For pride. You're like, no, you know what? I've lived 40 years. I'm pushing 40. Wow. I've lived 40 years. And I've denied it, Jesus. I don't need Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I'm going to keep pushing. Because you know, I'm a good person. Oh, the good people are hard to get saved. They really are. We have some neighbors out there in Toledo. Nicest people in the world. Not saved. And I've witnessed to them several times. They won't get saved. They're good, nice people. And they won't get saved. I've witnessed to drug dealers. And they get saved because they realize how wicked they are. All it matters is the pride, right? But not only for lost people, for a lot of Christians. See, their embarrassment and pride. I've been out of church for 15 years, 10 years. I can't go back. I'm like, why not? Just because I don't want to. I'm embarrassed. Really, all it is pride. Most of our problems stem from what? From our pride. We don't want to be like Thomas. We don't want to say, you know what? When Thomas said, my Lord and my God, he said that, but he was really meaning, I was wrong. You're right, Lord. That's what he was saying. He's like, wow. He had to break his heart. He had to break his pride down, break his spirit down, and said, you're right. I'm wrong. And it's hard. It's hard as Christians. But what I love about all three of these men and all the disciples is Jesus Christ called each one of them. and said, follow me, follow me. And Jesus Christ can call every single one of us. Perhaps not to go across the world, but he's going to call us to be one of his followers. He's going to look at Jason and be like, Jason, follow me. Jason says, no. Okay, we'll skip Jason. Jason told me he doesn't want to be a missionary today because he's afraid of the foreign field. But that's okay. But it's not necessarily to be a missionary. He's going to say, follow me in your life. He's going to look at, are you Liz or are you the other one? I forgot the other one's name. Isabel. Are you, which one are you? Isabel. Someday, Jesus Christ is going to, perhaps he's not look directly at you, but you're going to hear, follow me. Maybe not to be a missionary, not to obviously not to be a preacher, we know that. But to follow him, he's going to say, follow me. He's going to look at every single person here and say, follow me. Doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 500. He's going to call all of us someday to follow him. To either be a Christian if you're not a Christian, and if you are, to actually live a life that pleases God. And if we're going to do that, we need to be like Andrew. Have a heart to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. Be like Thomas. Don't be too proud to change your false beliefs. And like Matthew. And some of us he's going to call to leave everything and go to the foreign field and do that. And you know what? And sometimes I'll admit, because I'm a very honest preacher, I grumble at God. I'm like, God, I'm down here. Costa Rica's nice, yeah, but still, it's a dump. It really is. Man, you can't. It's not America. You got to go and pay your bills in cash and in the store. It's crazy. The people there are not nice. I'm sure you feel deal with the same thing down in Ukraine. The people are not nice. I'm sorry. They can pretend to be nice, but they're pretending. Kind people here pretend to be nice. I'm not a Costa Rican. I'm not going to get their inside, even though I speak the language, I'm not going to get their inside jokes. They're going to tease. They're going to make fun of me when my back is turned. They do. I know they do. That's okay, because I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. But sometimes I grumble at God. And I'm like, God, this is annoying. I want to see my dad. I haven't seen my mom and dad in a year. I haven't seen my siblings in like 2-3 years. My kids haven't seen their cousins in 2 years. And I'll grumble at God and I say, this is hard. I don't like it. And I don't. At times I don't. Are we allowed to be honest? I really don't. I want to be with family. I want to be where my kids are with their grandparents and their cousins. But then God tells me, you know what? Follow me. Because this is just eternal. This is temporal right here in this state, in this life. It's just temporal. Sunday, we're going to have all of eternity together. And I'm going to be so glad that I left the little stuff he called me to leave down here in eternity. Follow Jesus. When he looks at you, when you feel that finger of God in your heart, in your spirit there, he's saying, follow me. Perhaps not to the mission field, perhaps not as a preacher, but still follow him as a faithful Christian. Bringing people to Jesus Christ, admitting being humble when you're wrong, and just leaving whatever Jesus Christ wants you to leave. Follow him. Don't tell him no. Perhaps there were 20, we all know, actually if you read the Bible, Jesus Christ at one point had how many disciples? He had about 70. How many ended up with him? 12. Actually, really, at the cross, John. That was it. But he had 70. I got to do math real quick again. Second time today, Mom. Best teacher I ever had, my mom, right there. I was homeschooling. 58. 58 other disciples said, you know what, I'm done. Bye. And left. I don't want to be one of those disciples that said, you know what, this is too much. I want to follow Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day you've given us, this afternoon you've given us. Lord, thank you for the disciples, the good examples that they are. Lord, please help us to follow you when you call us to follow you. For some, it's for salvation. For some, it is a ministry. For others, it's living a victorious Christian life as a light to the lost. But Lord, please help us to follow you when you call us and not turn you down and not turn away. In Jesus' name, amen.